are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. God, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for the way you're working and the way you've designed for tonight. And I pray that, Lord, that as I bring what I've prepared, you know, guided by you, I pray that you would speak into the lives of everyone here, and we just give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to get straight into it because there's a little bit in it, but you know, hopefully you guys will really enjoy and be able to get a lot out of it. So if you remember last time, if we could, I talked about Jesus being selfless, and I said that that at that point I was going to do a bit of a series on Jesus is, on the fact that as he is, so are we in this world. So tonight we're going to do Jesus is the Son of God. So Jesus is the Son of God. And as we see that scripture in 1 John 4:17 that I read last time, love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And I love the message of the part in verse 17, the message in verse 17, and it says, our standing in this world is identical with Christ's. So our standing in this world is identical with Christ. So I just want to quickly move on, but if we have a look at Romans 8:14-16, and if we talk about Jesus is the Son of God and our standing is the same in this world, I love this scripture in Romans 8. It says, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So Jesus is the Son of God. Our standing is the same in this world. All who are led by the Spirit, and some versions say, will be called the sons of God. Now Jesus is the Son of God, big S. And when we see this, led by the Spirit of God, are the sons, and if we can say, sons and daughters of God. So, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we, believers, are the children of God. And so if I was going to call it something else tonight, it was going to be Jesus is led by the Spirit. And so that's basically where we're going tonight. As he is, so are we in this world. We are led by the Spirit. And so I'm just going to put a few thoughts down, just quickly just do a few thoughts on things about being led by the Spirit. So firstly, if we put the first slide up, firstly, we need to be willing to be led. Now, that picture up there is a picture of we have two dogs, but the picture up there is a picture of our older dog, and she is now eight, I think. So we got her in 2011, just after we got back from our trip around Australia. And that's Bella. Now, Bella was very interesting. She had no training for the first year of her life. And I don't know, has anyone ever had a dog who hasn't had any training? Anyone had a dog who hasn't had any training? There we go. There's a lot of people here that have dogs that haven't got any training. Well, when we see the title of this point is willing to be led, well, I can tell you early on, Bella was not willing to be led. And we would have like times where she would just dig into the bin and take food out of the bin, and she would just take off out the front door. She just go, the front door's open and she's gone. She's out the front door, she's down the road, she's blocks and blocks away, and she's just running. And she loves running, and she'd be running across in front of cars, and I don't know how she's still around today, but there wasn't much willingness by her to be led. There was just, it just wasn't there. And so when I think it was about a year in, we'd had enough of this, and she snatched some food out of one of the kids' hands, I think, and nearly bit one of the kids. And she's just a gentle soul, and she loves people, and she really does, but when it comes to food, she's got issues. Now, there are other people I know, some people have got issues with food, but we won't talk about them tonight. We'll talk about our dog, Bella, who had issues with food. And so she still has issues with food, by the way. She'll just keep eating if we allow her. But anyway, we found this dog trainer who was a dog trainer specifically for working dogs. And I, not that I'm amused, but I know some people spend weeks and months and years taking their dogs to dog training. But this guy came in for 2.5 hours. He came in for 2.5 hours. I think it was $250. This guy came in for 2.5 hours. And the first thing that... I know you all want his phone number, who have dogs. But the first thing that happened, he was introduced to Bella, and he said to Claudia, because I wasn't at home at the time, just be very, very aware that what I do to start with might shock you and upset you a little bit. And so he went outside, and the other thing she had issues with was jumping on people. And so he walked outside and she jumped on him, and the first thing he did was grabbed her and pushed her back down and yelled at her, really, really yelled loudly at her and pushed her back down. And to cut a long story short, within 10 minutes, he had some food on the floor right next to him, and then he walked away, and she would not go anywhere near the food until he gave her permission. And her eyes were locked and loaded on him. And she was a changed dog from that day. Now, we had to implement some things, but it was just incredible, the transformation. Like, to the point where we couldn't take her for a walk because it'd just be crazy. Not a very long period down the track, she was able to just walk without a lead. No problems at all. She'd stop at the side of the road, walk without a lead. And it was just an amazing transformation. And so she became willing to be led, but she understood, like, she understood who the boss was. She got that. She understood where she sat in the pecking order. And so as we look at this willing to be led, there's three things. And Andy Culverson spoke last week on obedience, and I was doing this before he was preparing his message, but it was really interesting that the first point we had, and if we just put those three up there, Josh, if we can, is these three things are very important in whether you are willing to be led. So you've got to ask yourself, are you willing to be led? So firstly, obedience, compliance with an order, request, or law of submission to one another's authority. Now, we all have trouble with that at some times, don't we, Hamish? No? Oh, okay. So, submission. And we love this one. Submission's a great thing. You know, there are some scriptures in the Bible that talked about submission, and so it really gets up people's goat about this. And they try to say that it's all cultural and back in those times and we don't like submission. But submission, the action of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another. And humility, the quality of having a modest view of one's importance. And so ask the question tonight, are you willing to be led? Because to be led by the Spirit, you've got to be willing to be led. And so we need, when it comes to humility, we need humility to accept that their way may be better than ours when it talks about humility. And let's put the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in that. We need humility to accept that the Spirit's way may be better than our way or what we know. So there's the first thing. So the second one, so you need to be willing to be led. And the next one we've got is being led without relationship is futile. If we have a look at John 8:27-29, They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing." Jesus said, "I do nothing." That's "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." If our relationship with the Father is a priority, then we can avoid being led astray. We can avoid being led somewhere because someone else was led there. Your relationship is your relationship with God. You need to take responsibility for your relationship with God. I heard someone say that God doesn't have grandchildren, he has children. So for everyone here, when you meet the Father face to face, you can't say it was them. Your relationship is very important. And so put effort into your relationship with God. It's not, your relationship with God isn't your friend or your mum or your dad, your husband or your wife or your boss. Your relationship with God is your relationship with God. And so once we have a relationship with God and we start that journey, it's our relationship and that grows. So be led, being led without relationship. If it's just about rules and regulation, it's going to die pretty quick. So it's important that when we're led by the Spirit, it's because we have relationship with the Father. All right. So the next three are fairly quick. Led in life. We need to be led in life. Okay. How can I be led by the Spirit? You hear people say, I just don't ever seem to be led by the Spirit. I don't understand it. I don't get it. How come I'm not led by the Spirit? Well, we think it's all about the gifts. We think it's about things like prophecy, and we think, oh, I haven't got prophecy, so I'm not being... How come I haven't got those things? Well, it's about being led in life as a whole. You can't just say, okay, well, being led by the Spirit is about church on Sunday. So that's my day of being led by the Spirit. It's going to dry up pretty quickly. Led by the Spirit is your whole life. It's every part of your life. So the second one that I put there is, if we go to the next one, Josh, led in all of your life. So just say outside of church. It's not about saying, okay, God, you can have this part of my life and I want to be led in that part of my life. But, you know, the part that is, maybe sport, okay? God, I don't want you to lead me in that part of my life. I don't want you to lead me at work, but you can, you can lead me in this other part. I don't want you to lead me on the road, because on the road I can, do whatever I want to do. He wants to lead in every part of your life. I don't want to be led in what I'm happy to be led in what I read, but I don't want to be led in what I watch. Happy to be led with my friends, but I don't want you to lead with my money, because my money's my money. That's my part of the deal. I'm happy to lead in those parts, but not in those parts. It's led in all your life. So the next one is led in the small things. Led in the small things. Make being led by the Spirit become second nature. Let it become part of who you are. And then you won't be saying, oh, I don't feel like I'm ever led by the Spirit, but I'm just keeping this little part aside. But be led in the small things. Be courteous. See, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So we say, well, not led by the Spirit. Well, you can be led by the Spirit when you're courteous. You can be led by the Spirit by being kind. You can be led by the Spirit by being generous, by being patient. You can be led by the Spirit by encouraging someone. You can be led by the Spirit and go and say hello to someone who looks lonely. You know, we had a great message this morning by Nick being about Jesus is inclusive. You know, sometimes we want to overcomplicate it and say, well, you know, I want to be led by the Spirit in the big things. God says, be faithful with the small things and be faithful with the bigger things. You can be led by the Spirit to pray for someone. Oh, I haven't got the words, or I don't know what to pray. Just pray for them. It doesn't have to be high-fluted and all, call down angels and all this sort of stuff. Just pray for someone. You can be led by the Spirit to help someone in need. It's not complicated. Be led by the Spirit in the small things. All right, the next one. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean there won't be challenges. If we have a look, at Jesus, he's just been baptized, and the dove come down from heaven, and God says, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." You know, we think it's going to be, all this magnificent angels around and everything like that, and then so what happens next? This is what happens next. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. So he was led by the Spirit. This is good, isn't it? We love this. We love this part of Christianity, that being led by the Spirit doesn't mean there won't be challenges. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You know, it's okay when challenges come. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, I don't know whether I could do that. I don't think that God would lead me to go 40 days without food. I can't imagine that God would lead me by his Spirit to do that, but I need to be careful because he might very well do that. And 40 days and 40 nights, and this is a classic. I reckon this is really, afterwards he was hungry. I reckon he might be. Embrace the challenge. Dig into, as Jesus did, what he knew when the challenge came. I don't want to go into the temptations that came for Jesus. But he gave the word to Satan in all its fullness when the challenges came. Dig into your relationship with God. If you don't put effort into your relationship, when the challenges come, you're going to say, oh, this Christian life's all too hard. Dig into it. The Word of God says the gates of hell will not prevail against the armies of the God. That's not a negative scripture. That's a positive scripture. Dig into your relationship with God. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean there won't be challenges. So when they come, don't think that God doesn't love you, that God doesn't care about you. There's sometimes Christianity say it's all, life's going to be all amazing when you're led by the Spirit. The challenges are going to come. Just be aware. Don't drop the ball when the challenges come. Being led by the Spirit doesn't mean there won't be challenges. God is with you. Okay, next one. Being led by the Spirit will cause a reliance on relationship and deepen trust. And I love this part of that last scripture we read in the Passion Translation. And it says, immediately after this, he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go into, and I underlined it in the scripture, an uninhabited desert region. Submission. Sorry, next page. That's not where I was going. Often being led by the Spirit can take us where no one else is. We feel alone. Ever felt that before, anyone? Can feel like we're on our own. Uninhabited region. No one else, where there's no one else. And we need to rely on our relationship with God. And that's sometimes all we've got. I've been in places like that. These times we need to narrow our focus and sometimes shut out the noise around. Go to an uninhabited place and just be you and God. Shut out the noise around. With the distractions gone, we can hear clearer to understand what the Spirit is leading us to understand the instructions. Sometimes we need to remove the distractions and go to an uninhabited place. Okay, next one. Stop looking for an out and know your drivers. Be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this. I think this is really important. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Be aware of it. They're constantly fighting each other. You know, when you get to places and you know, there's a battle going on in your life, they're constantly fighting at each other. So you are not free to carry out the good intentions that God wants you to carry out. And so we've got to be aware. Be aware of the enemy's schemes. The Bible says to be aware of that. But they're constantly fighting against each other. And I reckon one of the classic examples of this, about stop looking for an out to know where your drivers are and be led by the Spirit, is Samson. So if we can put the scriptures up about Samson, Josh, that'd be awesome. Judges 14:3. Now Samson, I don't want to get into the whole Nazarite thing. Samson was almost ordained, you know, with and took a Nazarite vow. And so there were certain things in the Nazarite vow that he took that were just really important as far as where he was going. And if we have a look at Judges 14:3, it says his father and mother, this is the first real sense we get of Samson, you know, and the way where his mindset was at. And he says his father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? And it said, but Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good to me. Those things are fighting against each other all the time. Samson, you know, this first part we see of Samson's decisions, he says, she looks good to me. What are his drivers? You know, you hear those things that, you know, that where people fall in, you know, morals, money and ministry. What are Samson's drivers here? He had some urges that he just couldn't deal with and they never left him. She looks good to me. If we have a look at Judges 16:19, and this is where it outworked to. She lulled Samson to sleep with his head on her lap. And then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. In this way, she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Samson's life, I know some people say that it finished in victory, but I find Samson's story very sad. I find it really sad. And there's a couple of really interesting things that come out of this. And so if we have a look at the next scripture, it says, Judges 16:28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my 2 eyes. So the eyes are what brought him down. What he saw, what he thought was good, what he thought was okay, and the thing that he thought was, you know, just amazing, that's what brought him down in the end. He was lusting after something which he shouldn't have taken hold of. And so he's asked God to come in after the fact and restore that for the loss of his 2 eyes. And we know what happened. You know, he leant against and pushed down the pillars and the temple fell down. And I think 3,000 died or something that day in an amazing turnaround of events. But this is what I want to, this is the really important part for when we think of this heading that I've just said, stop looking for an out. In verse 31, it says this. Later his brothers and other relatives went down, this is after he died, went down to get his body. They took him back home and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, where his father Manoah was buried. Samson had judged Israel for 20 years. Now, I did a little bit of a search of where he was buried, and he was buried between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now, Eshtaol is from the root word Sha'al. Now, I listened to that, so, you know, it sounds like I'm being really spiritual and know my Greek and all that sort of stuff, but I really don't. I'm not that good on it. But it's from the root word Sha'al, which means to ask or to demand. And if we have a look back at where that started with his mother and asking about the Philistine wife, he said, "Get her for me." He demanded. He demanded. And so he was buried between the place of demand and Zorah. Now, Zorah means hornet's nest. So he was buried between demanding and the hornet's nest. And we know what a hornet does. A hornet stings. And he lay between that place. And he demanded and demanded and wanted these things that he shouldn't have been after. The drivers were not God's spirit drivers. And he ended up getting stung massively. What are your drivers? What are they? What drives you? Does it war against the Spirit of God and the Spirit leading? How many times have we asked God whether this or that is the right decision? Sometimes to convince ourselves, when the answer is right there in front of us. It's not complicated. It's right there in the Word of God. And so we convince ourselves. And that the answer's right there. And if it doesn't line up, or if you need to justify it, your answer is already there. And these are some of the excuses. Oh, but the scripture you're talking about isn't set for today. These are some of the excuses that people look for. But the scripture you're talking about isn't set for today. Or they say something like, look, I know he's a Christian. He isn't a Christian. But his credentials and the money he has made make him a worthy business partner. Being led by the Spirit. God, what are you saying here? God, what are you saying about this decision I've got to make? It's right there in front of you. Don't put God in it when it's right there in front of you. The job I'm going for is asking me to do some things I don't agree with. And they're against what I believe. But the money is very good. What are your drivers? Stop looking for an out when the answer's right there in front of you. Be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We go to that next one. I love this. I heard this the other day. Feeling is the voice of the flesh. Reason is the voice of the mind. Conscience is the voice of the Spirit. If you're not sure what the answer is, and sometimes people know what the answer is, and they come to you and they say, well, what do you think the answer should be? Well, test it with the Word of God. Test it with man. Now, I'm talking about someone who has the runs on the board, who you see has lived a life that, you know, the life they live is a godly life and they've got runs. Not someone who says, I've got it all together, but you've seen it and you've known them for a time. Don't go and find someone who you think might give you the answer you want to hear. Go to someone who's going to give you a straight line. They're going to give you truth. And test it with the Spirit, with the conscience. Test it in your spirit. And so if those three line up, you're pretty much home and hosed. Now, on the odd occasion, it doesn't quite work out that way. And you'll hear Graham talk about the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's an important thing. But be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by the things that might be driving you, that are warring against the Spirit. We when we went on our holiday a few years ago, on our six-month journey, we went to Broome, and we ended up in Broome for 5 weeks. Sorry. And to cut a long story short, Claudia got a job in Broome, and she worked in the bank for about 3 weeks, and I went fishing. And so I had to school the kids, and Claudia had to pay for my fishing line and fishing reels and, you know, my fishing license and all that sort of stuff. But I brought home the food. I say I brought home the bacon, but I actually brought home the fish. And about 2 weeks in, she came back to our van one night and she said, "I've been offered a position. And the position I've been offered is to for us to be moved. The bank will pay for our move up to Broome. They will send me down to Perth and they will upskill us. They will upskill me and they'll pay for our accommodation." Not a bad deal. Pretty good deal. And so, look, I'll be honest with you, we didn't spend ages and ages thinking about it, but we did consider it. But there were some factors that came into it. Now, if you have a look at the drivers in that, the drivers would be money and lifestyle. What a great lifestyle it would be. 6 months of the year, probably, you know, have to wear your raincoat because you get rained on so much. But I thought, can you imagine doing this sort of fishing all the time? And it'd be fantastic. And so the driver, they're the two drivers in that. And so we had a decision to make. But you know what? For our kids, there wasn't a good culture in Broome for bringing up kids. And, you know, a lot of the situations there weren't good for kids. And there wasn't probably a great future there for them. And so, as much as we considered it, we looked at and thought, we didn't really have to go into, "Oh God, lead us," you know. It wasn't as if it was as if I was being given a position in a church or anything like that. And I'm not saying that's the be all and end all either. But we had to go on what we saw were the principles of God. And so we followed those. Now, you know, you might think, well, is that being led by the Spirit? Yeah, it is being led by the Spirit. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it high-fluted. We're led by the Spirit in all our life. And so know what your drivers are. Sometimes your drivers will blind you, as we saw with Samson. He lost his eyesight. They will blind you from where you're meant to be going. Be led by the Spirit. It can all look good, but you need to be led by the Spirit. And so just keep that in mind. And the last couple of things that I've got is, it kind of ties in with that, and it's after the fact, don't blame God when you have been led by the flesh. Now, I outworked that thing with Broome, and I just wonder how many people are in a place going, "Oh God, God has left me. He's not been with me." When you go back a couple of decisions and you can see someone who's been led by the flesh and they've gone with what their drivers are rather than what the Spirit's saying. Rather than getting a backup, they've gone with whether it be money, whether it be, you know, a moral thing. You go back a couple of steps and then they're saying, "Oh, God's left me, he's not with me." Now, what happens if we'd made a decision to go to Broome? Now, my kids now are 17, 15 and 12. Now, in that culture, I'm just not sure whether we'd be up there going, "Was this the right decision? Did we make the right decision?" Or whether we might be going, "Oh, you know, it's God's fault. You know, God led us up here. God led us to this place." But sometimes being led by the Spirit is purely common sense. It's in the conscience. There's a lot of common sense, which isn't very common these days, but common sense is a powerful thing. Be led by the Spirit. It doesn't always work that way, but mostly it does. And so don't blame God after the fact when you've been led by the flesh in the first place. And lastly, or second lastly, it's not too late to be led by the Spirit. Peter rebukes Jesus. And you think, where is this guy? He rebuked Jesus when Jesus said, "I've got to go to the cross," and he rebuked him. And then Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And you think Peter's, you know, not being led by the Spirit. And then he denies Jesus three times. And you think, who is this bloke? He's never been led by the Spirit. But then you see he preached at Pentecost. He was led by the Spirit. And then you see that place where he says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. And he was led by the Spirit. I would just say to you here, if you just sense that you haven't been led by the Spirit or you made some wrong decisions, it's never too late to be led by the Spirit. Now everyone stand to their feet as we close. I just want to finish with this. Practice being led by the Spirit. Jesus did. Jesus was led by the Spirit when he turned the water into wine. Jesus was led by the Spirit when the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. Jesus was led by the Spirit when he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was led by the Spirit when he healed the sick, when he delivered the oppressed, when he walked on water. He was led by the Spirit when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. He was led by the Spirit when he taught with authority. He was led by the Spirit when he discipled his disciples. He was led by the Spirit when they fed the 5,000. He was led by the Spirit when he called Zacchaeus down from the tree. He was led by the Spirit when he spoke with the woman at the well. He was led by the Spirit when he spoke in parables. He was led by the Spirit in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was led by the Spirit when he went to the cross. And he was led by the Spirit when he was raised from the dead. As he is, so are we in this world. If we just put those things quickly, the last two slides, Josh. Willing to be led. Being led without relationship is futile. Led in life. Led in all your life. Led in the small things. Go to the next one, Josh. Being led by the Spirit will cause a reliance on relationship and deepen trust. Stop looking for an out and know your drivers. After the fact, don't blame God when you have been led by the flesh. It's not too late to be led by the Spirit. Practice being led by the Spirit. I want to focus on these last two for the last couple of minutes. I just want everyone to close their eyes. If you're in a place where you don't sense you've been led by the Spirit because some decisions you've made in the past, it's not too late. Start to get the right voices around you. Pray. Deepen your relationship with God. It takes effort. And if you've never sensed that you've been led by the Spirit, lean into God. Go to someone, ask him to pray with you. But be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, for your power to take us to another dimension than, as much as a lot of it's common sense, than common sense. And you will show us the way. And so for each and every person here, no matter how long they've been a Christian, I pray that they would practice being led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would do a work in every heart and every mind right now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.